Good morning. How good it is to be together worshiping our God on this, the third Sunday of Advent. We're more than halfway there. And how good it is to come together as people of faith. I trust you know that no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, whenever we gather, our deep desire is to meet you where you are and share God's love with you. Just a few announcements before we enter into our worship time today. Last Sunday, we let you know that our new church calendars are available, the 2022 calendars. If you've had a chance to pick one up, you know that they are full of wonderful photos, past and present, of St. John's folks and our beautiful setting here. Make sure you pick up a calendar before you leave today if you haven't gotten one. There are plenty out in the narthex as well as in the elevator lobby. And offering envelope boxes are in the narthex as well, so make sure you pick up yours if you haven't had a chance to do so already. And if you're looking to feel the Christmas spirit, come back this afternoon. There will be a wonderful concert here at St. John's featuring our chancel choir and friends, as well as North Penn High School singers and brass players. It promises to be a full house. As always, we encourage all who come to wear masks to make it as safe as possible. And we do indeed look forward to seeing you among us. And some advance notice, because Pastor Addie and I have discovered that these days it seems hard for people to remember dates and times of all that is going on. So some Christmas Eve information. Since it's a little different this year than last year or the year before, there will be on Christmas Eve, the 24th, two in-person services, one at 5 p.m. This morning at the 8 o'clock service, I said one at 5 a.m. I really got their attention. Don't come at 5 a.m., okay? One at 5 p.m., one at 11 p.m., with 15 minutes of pre-service music prior to both services. The music will be slightly different at each service. The 11 o'clock service will feature our chancel choir and a string quartet. There will be carol singing. There will be wonderful music provided by our minister of music, Andrew. And all of the elements that you are accustomed to, except we won't be passing real candles, but we will have candles, and we will be lifting our lights during Silent Night. So if you're comfortable being here in person, either at 5 or at 11, if you feel better about worshiping safely at home, there will be a virtual service created as well. And this will not be just an audio service, but visual also. You'll be able to watch and see and hear. It will be made available during the day on Christmas Eve so that you may listen to it at your leisure. And that will be available both on our YouTube page and also on our Facebook page. So trust me, we'll remind you of this again so that everyone is tuned in to the opportunities and we're all being able to celebrate together in one way or another. And the day after Christmas, which happens to be a Sunday, we will have just one worship service on Sunday morning, the 26th. It will be very laid back, family oriented, 9 a.m., wonderful things to share, and many Christmas carols to sing. So let us look forward to those times together, and for now, let me encourage you to take a deep breath. As we breathe in the presence of God, whether here in this beautiful sanctuary or in our homes listening to the service, let us have the courage to breathe out and let go of the things that are weighing us down or burdening us at this point, so that we might be tuned in to God among us here in this place. Amen. All of the candles we light during this Advent season invite us, if you stop and think about it, invite us to look forward. 2 weeks ago, we lit the candle of hope. And of course, hope reminds us that things do not always have to be the way they've always been. Last Sunday, we lit the candle of love and challenged you to draw the circle wide and demonstrate that love as we gave gifts and shared our generosity with others. In just a bit, we will light the candle of joy. Joy that lasts, joy that has staying power, is always joy that is rooted in envisioning what might be, and then working toward it with our whole being. The final candle in our Advent wreath, which we'll light next Sunday, is of course the candle of peace. How well we know that peace does not emerge if we insist upon focusing on past grievances, on things that did not work, on what went wrong. Peace can only emerge if we are willing to look forward and to recognize that in order for peace to have a chance, it must start with you and with me. Looking forward, though, of course, requires discipline. Looking back is so much easier. Lamenting, reminiscing, thinking about the good old days. But looking back doesn't move us forward. May we dare to be a people who look forward, ever focused on the one who is the source of our hope, our love, our joy, and our peace. May we be a people who dare to look forward together, gathered to find strength in our God and in our community of faith, even now as we worship, in the name of God, our Creator, Christ, our Redeemer, and the Holy Spirit, our Comforter, our Guide, and our Strength. Amen. I invite you to join with me in praying our prayer of confession printed in the bulletin. Let us pray. Eternal God, at this point in the Advent season, we are eagerly looking forward to what lies ahead, to the arrival of your Son yet again in our world, and to better days, not just but for some, but for all of your creation. The challenge is to make sure that even as we look forward, we remain fully present in the here and now. For all around us are those in need of your love, your grace, and the wholeness only you can offer. Forgive us for being so focused on our own agendas that we miss opportunities to share ourselves and what we have with those for whom it would make a world of difference. As we pause now to breathe and to embrace the gift of your forgiveness, may we commit ourselves anew to filling each moment to the brim with what is right and good and pleasing to you. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends in Christ, God's promise is sure. When we confess our sins, God is faithful. God is just. God forgives us and cleanses us from all that is not right. Let that sink in. Claim that gift, and then allow that gift to free you up to live fully, sharing generously with others every chance you have. Amen. Please be seated. It is with great joy that finally we have an opportunity to welcome into St. John's a family that was eager to join St. John's just as the pandemic brought everything to a screeching halt back in March of 2020. And we have gotten to know this family wonderfully well during that time, and that has been great, but we want to make this official. We want to have you connect with them. And so with great pleasure, we introduce you to Mark and Sarah Hogan, along with their children, Katie and Danny. And we're going to invite their sponsors, Jess and Matt Carson, to come forward as well, along with Izzy, little Izzy. Bring the whole crowd. Bring the whole bunch. Jess was a little concerned that Izzy might be a little noisy, but you know what? We like noise. So come. Come join us up front here to be a part of this celebration of welcoming you. I should claim a spot right here, okay? Good morning, Danny. Good morning, Katie. And here comes Izzy. Izzy's got the right idea. She's got her favorite toy with her, it looks like. All right. As you can see in your bulletin, there is a liturgy to follow because we are going to be responding as well at some point along the way. You know, one of the things we always say to folks who are joining St. John's, this is not about signing your life away. It is not about signing a doctrinal statement. It is about joining us in our search as we, as people of faith, seek to live out that faith in ways that matter and that strengthen us as individuals and as a community. And so with that in mind, we're going to be asking you, Mark and Sarah, a few questions and inviting you to respond. And members of St. John's are also going to be drawing you into this conversation as well. So let's participate together.
Sarah and Mark, do you, by this act of joining the church, profess your desire to live out your faith as a member of this congregation, ever seeking to better reflect the image of God in your daily life, and ever desiring to more fully understand and embody the teachings of Jesus Christ, whom we are called to love and serve?
And do you promise with God's help and grace to grow in the Christian faith and to be a faithful member of St. John's United Church of Christ, taking to heart the commitment you are making today before God and the members of this faith community?
I invite us all to together say what we believe. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be in the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God.
Members of St. John's, let us express our welcome and affirm our mutual ministry in Christ. We welcome you with joy in the common life of this church. We promise you our friendship and prayers as we share the hopes and labors of the Church of Jesus Christ. By the power of the Holy Spirit, may we continue to grow together in God's knowledge and love and be witnesses of our risen Savior. Sarah and Mark, you already have wonderful sponsors in Jess and Matt. They've helped you learn the ropes and get to know things. You have wonderful support in the people of St. John's. And our way of welcoming new members, of course, is we love to put our hands together and applaud, so we're going to invite you to do that now. And it is also our tradition when we welcome new members, of course, to feed you. It's like welcoming someone into a neighborhood. Someone brings you a loaf of bread or a cake. Well, it has been our tradition to give homemade bread to our new families. And I'm thinking, Katie, would you be willing to hold this for me? No? Mom? Okay. All right. Well, we're going to give it to Mom then. But it's going to be delicious bread. Thanks to Judy Johnston, who baked that for us and for you, a way of saying welcome into our family. And there are some official certificates here, as well as name tags, so that in the weeks ahead, people can put names and faces together. It's a little harder to do that when we're wearing masks, but Sarah and Mark will have name tags along the way. You don't have to wear them all the time, but there and information about St. John's. It is so good to finally have you officially welcomed and among us. Jess and Matt, thank you for being their sponsors, and Danny, Katie, Izzy, you're going to grow up together, and that's an awesome thing, so very good. And and Izzy's ready. All right. Okay. You may head on back to your seats. Welcome.
As we switch our gears, we're going to enter into our time for scripture reading. And our first scripture reading is from the book of Philippians, chapter 4, just a few short verses from 4 to 7. I think you'll recognize these familiar words. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And our gospel reading today is from the book of Luke, chapter 3, verses 7 through 18. John said to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." And the crowds asked him, "What then should we do?" In reply, he said to them, "Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise." Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, "Teacher, what should we do?" He said to them, "Collect no more than the amount prescribed for you." Soldiers also asked him, "And we, what should we do?" He said to them, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusation, and be satisfied with your wages." As the people were filled with expectation and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandal. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." So, with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people. As always, I have a message to share for our children, and of course, as always, our young at heart. I cannot believe that it is already the third week of Advent. We have lit the candles of hope and love, and now I'm going to invite Reverend Sue to come forward as we light our next candle, the candle of joy. It's the pink one. That's how you remember. The candle of joy. I don't know about you, but this far along on the Advent journey, I think joy is just what we need. I think a lot of adults around here probably think that the month of December and the Advent season moves way too fast. How many of you think that this month moves way too fast? And you're like, slow down. Well, I bet the younger ones in our midst, because I remember when I was young, might be saying, "This is the longest month of all time." That time between Thanksgiving and Christmas, for little ones in our midst, feels like it goes so slow. And I know that no matter what our age is, waiting isn't easy. Waiting for Christmas isn't easy. Waiting at the grocery store isn't easy. We've all had to wait in a lot of lines these past 2 years, and it isn't always easy. But I have discovered there are different ways of waiting. We can be grumpy waiters, or annoyed waiters, or impatient waiters who are tapping their toe and checking their watches. I know you've all been in a line somewhere, and there's someone either in front of you or behind you who is very clearly unhappy about having to wait. Maybe they're sighing loudly, or maybe they're making comments under their breath about how unhappy they are, or maybe they're honking their horn at you in the drive-thru. But you know what I've learned? Because let's face it, even I, all of us, have been grumpy waiters every now and then. Being a horn-honking, toe-tapping Grinch of a waiter doesn't make what we're waiting for come any faster, does it? No. In fact, all it does is just make us and all the people around us even grumpier. But there is another way to wait. We can be hopeful waiters, loving waiters, pleasant waiters, and today's challenge is to be joyful waiters. Waiters who are patient and understanding, who take the time they have to wait and turn it into an opportunity to slow down, to look around, to connect with the people around us, and most importantly, to give thanks for every moment we've got, even if we're stuck waiting in a line. Now, it's important to note, because this is an important note, that being joyful doesn't mean that we're happy all the time or we're walking around with a fake smile glued on our face. God doesn't expect us to be happy all the time because there are some things that are hard and we get frustrated and impatient and there are difficult things happening and experiencing all around us in the world. But what I do believe that God wants us to know is that there is always joy to be found, even in difficult, frustrating moments when we feel like, oh my gosh, this will never end. God's joy will never run out. If we take time to look for it, we will never miss it. And in fact, we can help spread that joy to others and be a source of joy in the world. In some ways, the third candle, joy, is what happens when we add hope and love together. When we have hope that God's love is around us, even in moments when we can't see it, we will feel that deep and abiding joy that is way bigger than just temporary happiness. And that kind of deep joy is what spreads and grows and changes everything. So in the midst of all this waiting, we wait with joy, knowing that the journey to the stable is just as important as who will be born in it in just a few short or long weeks. Now, my little ones, by this time in your carryout connection, your Advent jars that you've been making are filling up on the outside with character stickers and on the inside with the pom-pom, the colors of Advent. So keep going with your activities. My hope is that it makes waiting till Christmas just a little bit easier because you have something to do each week and each day. Let's take time to pray together now, and then we'll join, as always, in praying our Lord's Prayer. God, waiting for Christmas is hard, but we can always come to you to ask you to help us to be joyful waiters who are grateful for the gift of joy and eager to share that gift with the world. As we continue on our Advent journey, in addition to the joy that we lift up this day, we carry with us your hope and love, and we look for ways to use them and pass them along to others along the way. All of these things we pray in Christ's name, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
I invite you to be with me now in a spirit of prayer. Loving God, it is so good to be able to stop doing so that we might listen for you, giving you our undivided attention. Open our ears, open our hearts, open our minds, open our eyes. God, give us what it is that we need for the living of this day and each day. May your word be clearly heard in the midst of mine. Amen. People had traveled from far and wide, trekking into the wilderness to find John the Baptist. Why? Because they wanted to be baptized by him. So imagine their surprise when they finally find him and he greets them with these words: "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath that is to come?" Now imagine coming to church on a Sunday morning and Pastor Addie or I greeting you by saying, "You brood of vipers." I'm thinking you might not want to come back the next time. I thought, or ever was one of the comments, there you go, okay? I'm thinking baptisms are supposed to be happy occasions, right? Joyous events, kind of like last week when we baptized little Levi in the midst of the white gift service. So what's going on here? Well, baptism is a joyous event. It is God's gift, freely given, no strings attached. But it calls us to claim responsibility for the gift. In the case of a little one being baptized, it is parents claiming responsibility, saying, "Yes, we are going to do our part to raise this child in a way that he or she will have a chance to learn of God's love, Christ's teaching. And when it is an adult being baptized, he or she is saying, I want to turn my life around. I'm going to do something different now because of this. So I'm curious, who were these folks trekking into the wilderness wanting to be baptized by John? And what was their motivation? Well, we do know that among those who trekked into the wilderness to find John were tax collectors and soldiers. An interesting mix. Not exactly marginalized people, but not beloved people either, mostly because of the serious misuse of their power. What motivated them to pursue John? Were they drawn to his frankness? Did they like his unembellished truth? Perhaps they were seeking a better way to live. I think the latter is true, and we can tell by the way in which they responded. Upon hearing John's words about what happens when we don't act upon God's teaching, their question is, what should we do? They don't ask, what should we believe? They ask, what should we do? And John responds, for starters, feed the hungry. And if you have more than one coat, give that extra coat to someone who has none. And then he becomes very specific. Tax collectors, gather no more than your quota. And soldiers, stop abusing your authority. You see, how we choose to live if we want to be baptized matters. The fruits of repentance, a changed life, can be seen in the way that we act. What John was urging these potential followers to do wasn't radical. Actually, it was pretty simple. But it was about not just one simple thing once in a lifetime. It was about taking on a way of life. Note also that John is extending this gift to people we would call oppressors, maybe even the enemy. But think back to that beloved Psalm, Psalm 23, the one that many of us know by heart, about the Lord being our shepherd. In the midst of that psalm, we read, Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. It's not a table set full of like-minded people. It's not a table filled with those who are as good as we think we are. There might be enemies at that table. There might be oppressors at that table. There may be people at that table we just downright hate. But that table is intended to draw us together. That table is intended to be a table of reconciliation, a place where we communicate together and commune together. Hating those we don't agree with, hating those we perceive to be the enemy or the oppressor, doesn't ever fix the situation or make it better. Listening, dialoguing, eating with, that can. What then should we do? Well, we do what we can. I like the way it's expressed in the Jewish Talmud, and perhaps you've heard these words before, but they bear repeating. We read in the Talmud, do not be daunted by the enormity of the world's grief. Do justly now. Love mercy now. Walk humbly now. You are not obligated to complete the work, but neither are you free to abandon it. You are not obligated to complete the work, but neither are you free to abandon it. Because the truth of the matter is, if we abandon the work of doing justice, loving kindness, mercy, walking humbly with God, that's when all the dire consequences John talks about become a reality. Baptism calls us to repentance, and that feels a little scary because repentance, and the Greek word is metanoia, means a fundamental change in mind, spirit, heart, and behavior. And it starts with acknowledging our sins, naming them, speaking them out loud, saying we're sorry for them, and then acting upon that sorrow or that remorse for things that we have done wrong, particularly those that have hurt others. Repentance requires humility, and perhaps that's why it's so hard to come by, because humility is hard work. But humility is the only way we can ever expect to be people of integrity. So you may be thinking, okay, feed the hungry, clothe the naked. I can do those things. If I drop off a bag of clothing up at Carrot Share, that will do the trick, right? Or a box of groceries for Manna. Or maybe you were here last week and brought a pile of gifts for Urban Promise and the men's shelter at Old First United Church of Christ. You're good to go, right? Well, let me just say it's a start. It's where we begin. But this feeding the hungry, this doing justice, this loving kindness and mercy, this walking humbly is not an occasional thing. It's not a seasonal thing. It's a way of life thing. Bearing the fruits of repentance is a discipline. It's hard work. But John reassures those who have come to be baptized by him. He says, not to worry. You see, there's someone coming after me who is way more powerful than I am, way stronger, way better, way more helpful than I am. In fact, so much so that I'm not even worthy to untie his sandals. But he'll be there for you. He'll help you through those hard times because repentance is hard work. We make mistakes day in and day out, and we have to keep coming back to that confessing and starting anew. Which reminds me of the words we then encounter in today's epistle lesson, words of the Apostle Paul, who gives us guidance as to what we should do when it is rough. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. And he goes on to say, have no anxiety about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That sounds really good, doesn't it? But really, have no anxiety about anything. Rejoice in the Lord always. To be very candid with you, telling someone who struggles with clinical depression, rejoice in the Lord always, that's just cruel. And telling someone in the throes of an anxiety attack to stop being anxious, that's cruel. So what is Paul urging us to do? Did he live in some sort of a vacuum? Did he not know the real world? Oh, he knew the real world. How much did he know that real world? He wrote these words about having no anxiety. He wrote these words about rejoicing always when he was in prison, awaiting a verdict, most likely a guilty one that would mean his death. Paul was no armchair philosopher. He had been beaten. He had been rejected. He had been shipwrecked. He even had what Scripture describes as a thorn in the flesh, which has bewildered biblical scholars for centuries. We don't know whether it was a physical ailment, a mental health condition, but what we do know is that this thorn in the flesh never went away. He dealt with it all of his life. So here is someone urging us to not have anxiety, urging us to rejoice, who knew about pain and challenge and depression and anger and all of those things, So clearly, this is not about going around with smiles plastered on our faces. This is not about being happy always. I believe what this is about is cultivating the inner life of the soul. Finding a way, when everything is falling apart, to keep on keeping on. You know and I know that we can't will ourselves to be joyful. We can't will ourselves to feel at peace. Those gifts come from God. And I believe we receive them through consistent spiritual practice. What do I mean by that? Day in and day out, crying out to God in prayer, even if we're not sure we feel like praying, even if we're not sure God understands what it is we want, even if we're not at all convinced we will get what we're asking for, crying out, engaging in listening for God, meditating, sitting silently, practicing gentleness. Because in that discipline, we find God's peace. We find God's joy. A joy that has staying power because it requires us to hold in tension two things: the brokenness of our world and our own personal lives on the one hand, and the love of God on the other hand. A love that became concrete and tangible in the person of Jesus Christ. John identifies what he is sharing with those who come to him to be baptized as good news. Yeah, it sounds a little scary, and it certainly is difficult. But it's good news, not because it's easy, but because it's life-giving. And it's good news, not because it means we'll always get exactly what we want, but because we will have someone on the journey with us when we can't put one foot in front of the other. One who John identified as so awesome, so powerful, I'm not even worthy to untie his shoes. The good news is good, but it's hard. The good news about the hard good news is that we don't engage in living it out alone. And you hear me say this over and over again because I believe it with my whole heart. We do this better together, helping each other on this journey, which is not easy, which may be full of all kinds of shipwrecks and rejections of our own, imprisonments of our own, struggles of our own. But to all of us is given this gift called baptism, God's love and grace, God's joy and peace. Imagine it washing over you. Imagine it buoying you up. Imagine it giving you what you need for the living of this day and whatever lies ahead. Amen.
be seated. As we move into our time of prayer this morning, I have a few joys and concerns that have been listed in our book. Two birthdays have been celebrated or will be celebrated, and that is by Sally Atkiss and Mary Sue Buchler, so we celebrate with them. We, of course, give thanks for new members Mark and Sarah and Danny and Katie. We lifted you up at 8 o'clock. That's why it's written in my book, because I didn't want to forget. But we're going to go ahead and double up on that joy, and we'll give thanks for you again. And also, as Reverend Sue mentioned earlier in the service, we had a wonderful white gift service last week, and our many thanks to all those who generously attended and who donated. And just a follow-up of joy, those gifts have been delivered to both Urban Promise in Camden and to Old First in Philly. And so they were given with generous hearts and received with very thankful hands. So thank you for that. And a few concerns. We continue to keep in our prayers Jackie Huntsberger, who is at Moss Rehab, as well as Heather Quire and Charlie Jewell, who are both recovering at home. All of them have been in our prayers for many weeks, but all can continue to receive our prayers of healing. Bearing in mind that we all come to this time of worship and prayer with many joys and concerns and names and faces and situations that weigh heavy on our hearts and minds, I invite you to bring those to mind now as we lift them up to God together in prayer. Joyful God, we come to you with a prayer for open hearts and open minds this day, open to healing, forgiveness, redemption, generosity, a life of joy. Not naive and shallow joy that boasts of everything being okay or easy, but a deep and abiding joy of your good news that sustains us even in the midst of all the not okayness. So many times, loving God, the events of daily life, the costs of being human, the realities of illness and tragedy and disconnectedness and grief close our hearts in ways that we might not see coming. We are blindsided by grief, surprised by sudden sadness, overcome by challenging times and circumstances. In these moments, O God, help us. Be with us. Draw nearer to us that we might feel your abiding presence. We are mindful, O God, for all whom joy is hard to find. Hope feels distant, love feels far off, and peace is a dream, not a reality. Help us to bear good fruit, to be sources of hope, love, joy, and peace, and to always be mindful of the needs of others, reaching out to be a light in the darkness, drawing light from you, our great source of light. We pray this day, O God, for the joy we have found, for the peace we seek, for the hope that we will receive in the birth of your Son. May we bring hope to the hopeless, love to the lonely, peace to the restless, and joy to those desperately in need of it. God, this day we pray for Jackie and for Heather and for Charlie. We continue to surround them with your healing presence, our love, your patience and sustaining presence. And God, we also are witnesses to the joyful celebrations and goodness that surrounds us. And we give thanks this day for Sally and Mary Sue celebrating birthdays, for Mark and Sarah and Katie and Danny. And we give you thanks for all those in our midst with generous hearts. God, our prayer is that our lives might align with our hearts, with the heart of our faith, and with the heart of the call you have for us. We thank you for your presence among us, for your beautiful creation around us, and for your spirit within us. Be close to us this day as we continue on this blessed journey that moves us closer to the birth of your Son. It is in his name that we pray. Amen.
As you arrived for worship today, you left your offering in the plates by the doors when you entered. We pause now to dedicate these gifts, to offer them up to God as we join together in singing our doxology. Generous and loving God, how well we know that all we have and all we enjoy are gifts from you. We are thankful, so thankful, and have sought to express our gratitude with these, our gifts today. As always, we ask you to bless them because we do want to do your work and do it well. We want to do your work in a way that touches lives. Not just our lives, not just here at St. John's, but the lives of those far beyond this place. Your love, your joy, your hope, your peace, gifts that we lift up throughout this season are gifts we want to share with others. So grant us the wisdom to do that well as we use these resources and as we seek in all of our living to be generous servants of your Son, Jesus. All of these things we pray in his name. Amen.
Thank you.
friends in Christ, as you go out into the world, we are indeed challenged to rejoice by the way we live our lives, by the way we reach out to those around us in need. As you go out into the world, I challenge you to go forth in peace. Be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honor all people. Love and serve God, rejoicing in the power of God's Holy Spirit. And as you do, may the light of God surround you. May the love of God enfold you. May the power of God protect you, and the peace of God sustain you, now and always. Amen.